Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. This episode of From Long Distance to Marriage is sponsored by The Gin and Beer It Show, whose host Meg was a recent guest of ours.
So Meg is a 20-something American expat living in London, and her podcast isn't really niche. She has something for everyone, so she talks about Netflix reviews, relationship advice, cultural differences, making friends. She has different friends on her show who kind of quote-unquote experts in different areas. Episodes are released bi-weekly, alternating with blog posts on the website. It's just a really nice show to listen to and kind of sample on the different things that a young person living in London would be talking about and thinking about. And I think it's really a good show for our audience, especially if you are looking to transplant your life because of a long-distance relationship. You might be having to deal with some of these cultural differences and getting used to life in a new country, which is something I've gone through. And it might be nice to hear someone else talk about it than me. So go ahead and check out the Gin and Beer It Show. You can find Meg at ginandbeeritshow.com or just search your favorite podcast platform for Gin and Beer It Show. We really hope you guys enjoy. Give Meg a follow and tune in. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 70 of From Long Distance to Marriage. I think just to start this off by saying we hope everyone is keeping well and safe, staying at home and doing lots of stay in contact digitally with the people you love. We're thinking of everybody and we're still here if you need to talk about how your long distance relationship is being affected. But this week we wanted to talk about jealousy in relationships and kind of how that can pan out and when you should be looking at yourself to see if, or at your partner to see if this jealousy is founded really. I think we talk a lot about frustration with one another, tone, being snappy. And one of the things we always tell you is to kind of look into yourself and see, like, what is happening here? Am I being fair? Am I being realistic? Are these feelings founded and should I be projecting this on the other person? And I think something we haven't really talked about very much is jealousy. We did do an episode a while back that was a request.
We've got our suspicions about cheating episodes.
We've got that, but someone said that, you know, kind of jealous of not getting to spend as much time with their partner, like getting jealous of friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, jealousy can play a huge role in long-distance relationships because I think that extra distance just adds more uncertainty, and uncertainty can lead to more jealousy.
Yeah, but this isn't just a long-distance thing. And
I know.
I think I'm partly inclined to think that people who are jealous long distance would be jealous without distance as well. I think one of two things is happening. Either that person's giving you reason to feel jealous, or you're inclined to be jealous regardless.
Yeah, and I do think that that is a character trait. People are inclined to be jealous.
But I think what's worth elaborating on with that is, let's say you're in a long distance relationship, your partner's jealous, they've got no reason to be jealous of you in the sense that you're not doing anything wrong. You know, you're not fooling around other people, you're not doing anything, you've not cheated before and they found out and that's made them jealous. You know, that's understandable. But if they're of that disposition where they are jealous of you and there is no reason to do it, I think there's a good likelihood that that wouldn't change once you've closed the distance. You know, and you get a lot of these relationships where there's the insecurity about you live together, you may be married, it's that kind of relationship, but then if you go out, there's jealousy. If you're meeting friends, there's jealousy. If you work with people of the opposite sex or same sex, if that's your inclination, you know. But the jealousy can always rear its head for people who are worried, you know, for people who are leaning that way.
I think you're probably right.
Long distance obviously exacerbates it. It makes it worse because you're spending more time apart. There's more reason to cheat because obviously you're not getting the physical... Your physical needs aren't being met when you're in a long-distance relationship. So to that extent, there's more reason to cheat, maybe more opportunity because your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife isn't around. You know, so there's all those reasons. But I think there's two different things going on here. You've got you as the person who may be doing the things that cause the jealousy. Maybe you're more likely to do those things long-distance because, you know, maybe you're going months without sex, for example. But if you're the person that's jealous, I don't fully think it makes too much difference.
Yeah, I do think that's probably true, but I also think that it could tie into other things. And like you said, there's a lot going on, especially in long distance, that can exacerbate that. For example, I mean, I was extremely insecure when we were long distance. I was like needy, nightmare, insecure girlfriend in a lot of ways. Not necessarily jealous, but, you know, you didn't do anything to make me feel insecure.
Yeah, but I think
insecure.
That's different. I think that's different. You know, being needy and feeling insecure and like, you know, that, because I think when you're long distance, that question then is, am I worth it to the other person? Why are they hanging around for me? You know, you can start asking those questions. That's not jealousy. You know, that's...
No, I'm not saying it is jealousy.
I really need, you know, like I said, you're missing the physical touch. So there's a hole in that relationship. There's a hole in your emotional needs. So all that makes sense, why you'd be more needy, why you'd want more communication, why you'd want to check in, but that's not jealousy.
I wasn't saying it was.
No, I know, but I want to clarify for you.
I know, but I want to clarify that I was trying to display that certain things can be drummed up in a long distance relationship that you wouldn't necessarily, maybe you wouldn't be that way in front, you know, in a normal relationship. But I do think that jealousy is, like I started to say earlier, a character trait. Like if you're going to be jealous, there's people who are jealous of everyone around them in every aspect. You know, there's people who are like covetous of what other people have and almost resent like that, you know, people have good luck. You know, I think that is a type of person.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if someone's jealous, they deserve some support and empathy, because I think most of the time jealousy stems from something happening previously to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they may have been cheated on. Well, then of course you're going to feel more worried. You're going to be a bit jealous if they're around people. It may be that, you know, you had, maybe you were deprived of things. Maybe you've been bullied out of school. Maybe home life wasn't good. Like, there's any number of reasons that can make you feel jealous of other people having things, like you just said, or jealous of your partner spending time with other people because you think, you know, they're gonna cheat because that's happened in the past. Like, I think jealousy is normally rooted in something, and it's really dangerous if left unchecked, because jealousy, I mean, I suppose if you do get into a really good relationship and over time you can develop that trust, and then it can start to come under control. But I think generally speaking, jealousy isn't something that gets better. It tends to grow. And, you know, I think most people see it in, you know, we probably all know a relationship where one partner's jealous and you can see that it becomes controlling. And I think often it grows. And I think if you're the jealous person, you know, it's definitely worth thinking, you know, whether that's therapy or not, trying to think how you can get a control on it, because one, all it does is make you miserable. It holds you back. It stops you fully embracing people. It stops you having to trust. You can't love someone fully because it's quite prominent in the back of your mind that they're going to hurt you, and then you're always waiting for that to happen. So, you know, if you know why you're jealous, like, yeah, you know what, this guy cheated on me, then you know what it is, and that's going to make life a bit easier. But if you have to dig a bit further back, it's worth doing.
I think also that's totally true, and past traumas can play a huge part in, you know, your ability to trust and things like that. But I also think that the sort of unfounded jealousy especially can come with immaturity and being kind of new to relationships and just not having that experience to understand what's a problem and what is just another person being different from you.
Yeah, I think also on that point, it can also just come from the differences. Like if you come from a family where things are done a certain way, perhaps let's just go the example that perhaps the woman stays at home,
mm-hmm.
and then you get into a relationship where that's not the case, I expect there could be some jealousy there, because it's like, well, why would you want to go out? What are you up to? You
know, so that's, I think, not really jealousy though. That's
it
just
can be jealousy.
Control.
Because, yeah, it's control, but I think
can lead to jealousy.
I think it can come from jealousy, because you've got it starts off with, well, that's not how things are done. But then when they do start going out and see other people, then you can get jealous. And I think jealousy and control are often very, very interlinked.
Yeah, they can tie.
But it's just an elaboration on your point that it can come from maturity. It can come from just differences that make you think, well, that's not how it's done. You must be doing something.
I just remember like the earliest relationships that I was in, and you know, my friends were in, thinking back into like high school, and it was like, why are you talking to her? Why sit next to her in class? I had a question. Well, you shouldn't be talking to her. Like, I'm your girlfriend. And you know, this kind of just, you know, not fully formed human yet. I mean, we're all evolving continuously, hopefully into old age. People aren't. That's kind of, you know, you don't want that. But I just remember looking back at that, you know, and, you know, hugging a friend. Why'd you hug him? Well, he's my friend. I've always hugged him, even before we dated. It's not romantic. Like, you know, it's all this stuff that I think you start to figure out. I remember my first serious boyfriend, you know, kind of talked to me about, like, porn and how what I thought about it. And I was like, well, I don't want you watching that. Like, that's not right. And, you know, it made me feel insecure and probably a little bit jealous. And he's like, okay, well, would you have problems with me reading, like, erotic, like, stories? And I said, well, no, I guess not. And it was that I didn't want him looking at other girls and this stuff. And, you know, the older I got, I understood that for most men, porn is not about lusting after that girl in the picture. Men are very visually stimulated. And, you know, that's something that they need. And, like, I know, as I got older, that the you know, the guys that I was with, it was just like, no, I mean, I kind of think of you when I look at that, you know, whatever. I mean, that's another huge area where jealousy can stem from is porn, yeah, and stuff, masturbating and stuff like that.
That, I think, kind of comes back to the insecurity, because, like, porn's a huge one, and I think what you almost always hear is, you know, those girls are really pretty, or they're really good shape, or I won't do those things, whatever. But it often comes back to a comparison between you and them.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, sometimes people have an ethical objection, and you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you've got an objection for what porn is, then that's something completely different. This isn't going to be a pro-porn talk. But if the objection is anything to do with the comparison between you and them, I think, you know, that's normally comes down to insecurity or jealousy. It's like, well, you know, how am I supposed to compete with them? And, you know, because, like, it gets quite disturbing, actually. You hear quite a lot now about, you know, girls having, what is it, like, vaginoplasties to, like...
What?
Having, like, vaginal...
surgery?
Yeah, to basically not like the way it looks, because right. In porn, you know, they're...
Oh, they always look horrible in porn.
Well, but, you know, so, like, that is a problem. But I think what women maybe don't often appreciate or understand is that the same is often true for men. You know, you look... There are some horrible men in porn, but generally speaking, you know, all the stuff that women say about the women in porn is equally true for the men as well. You know, they're
well, the
normally,
men always have good bodies, and they're very well hung.
Like, exactly, they are not indicative.
They're of not necessarily job. Handsome.
Now, okay, yeah, you do get some men who think, what are they doing in porn? But that's true of women too. The point I'm making is that it's not just average guys in porn with the most incredible women. It's generally, yes, there are exceptions, but generally you're looking at both genders in that in porn are what you'd call above average.
Yeah.
So, you know, the men could equally have the insecurity. The men can think, well, I'm nowhere near that big, or, you know, I haven't got that staying power, or whatever. There's things for men and women when looking at porn to compare yourself against. And it's not healthy to do that. And it's unlikely that you watch, say, any other form of entertainment. Let's say you go and watch an action film or something. You could have the same feelings of, well, the woman in that's too beautiful. I don't want my boyfriend watching that. And the man thinking, well, you know,
Jason Statham's body is not attainable for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that particular criticism goes beyond porn. And I think if that's your insecurity, then I think you could start to think, am I being inconsistent with this? Now, obviously, the response to this is going to be, yeah, but they're having sex in it.
Yes.
Yeah, but so what? Like, your boyfriend's not going to actually have sex with her. You know, so it's just, you can fantasize about having sex with anyone. And in fact, if you go and talk to men or women about their list of people they'd sleep with, 9 times out of 10, it's not got porn stars on it. Or there may be a porn star, but it's going to be movie stars. You know, it's going to be Charlize Theron or whoever. You know, it's going to be people who are outside of that industry. And that's probably quite telling. You know, the people that... And you can't control... We've never asked each other the question anyway, but it surprised me how often you hear about people saying, oh yeah, when I'm having sex, I'm thinking of someone else. You think, so you can't control everything anyway, and you can't stop them being around or being exposed to people that are attractive. And that is beyond porn. I think porn's an easy target for that, but it goes way beyond it. So I think, yeah, it's a huge, huge area of jealousy and insecurity, but I think, one, it can be inconsistent. Two, there's no real need for it. And three, the aesthetics that you're looking at are not just out of reach for women, or not just above average for women.
But the other thing, you know, like you said, it can infiltrate into everyday life. You know, the amount of times in real life and in movies and TV shows you hear, we were out today and he blatantly just checked out this girl that walked by. And I think, okay, yeah, depending how that's carried out, it can come across as really disrespectful. But I'd be lying if I said that I never saw a guy and thought, ooh, you know,
yeah.
Like, you're human.
You're like, you don't switch off when you get in a relationship.
I remember when we were like, hadn't been married very long. It was like the first few months I moved over here. I was working in my first job in the pub, you know, as a barmaid. And this guy walked in. And it took me back to like when I was a waitress before we were together, like during university. And like cute guys would come and I'd try and act a certain way and hope that they'd ask for my phone number and stuff like that. And it was so, this guy was like so startlingly good looking that when he came in, it took me back to that. Like, oh my God, does he think I'm pretty? Does he think I'm cute? Like, is he going to ask for my number? I thought, wait, I'm married. Like,
yeah.
Didn't make me do anything wrong. Now, I don't know if I told you about that straight away or if I ever told you about it, but it probably wouldn't make you jealous because I didn't do anything. We're human and we can't control these thoughts. And I mean, we've gotten to a point in our marriage now where we'll point out, like, holy shit, did you see that guy?
We've been doing that for years.
For years. And like, oh God, the funniest was my brother came to visit and we were in London and we were walking across through Westminster, really busy part. And I saw this girl with the most beautiful ass. Like, it was beautiful. Like, I know that sounds really sexualizing and what's that word? Objectifying her.
Yeah.
But she must have worked out so hard. You know, she had a great figure and her butt was like sculptural. And I noticed it and I thought, oh, wow, like that's a nice ass. And my brother turns to me and he goes, did you see the ass on that girl? I go, yeah, it was amazing. And then Rich goes, wait, what? What, who?
Yeah,
I was like, she's already walked the opposite direction. And he's like, and so he's like, can we go back? And, you know, it was this whole thing that my brother, my husband and I were all talking about, which is probably kind of weird to some people, but you know, you can appreciate things.
But, you know, it, going back to what you said about that extremely handsome guy, like, the problem is when it starts being thrown up as a problem. You know, if you'd come back and said, why don't you look like that? Or what, you know, then it's a problem when you're throwing the...
That's not jealousy, out. That's just being an asshole.
Yeah, but then it leads to the things. You know, it leads to the feelings of inadequateness and insecurity and everything else. So it's not strictly jealousy, but I think, you know, some of these things go hand in hand. But you can't, just because you're with someone doesn't mean you're not allowed to find other people attractive. And, you know, it's, I think it's really, really worth just trying to figure out where's that coming from. So if we go back to porn, what really is your problem? Because I tell you the problem with porn too is, or the problem with having a problem with porn is it's allowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you display jealousy or things towards people outside of porn, people will tell you, like, you know, you're reacting a little bit there. Like, that's maybe you're, maybe you shouldn't be jealous about that. But because it's about porn, people say, yep, that's fine. So it's very, very easy to get validated about your negative feelings towards porn, which is fine. Like I said, if there's anything moral or ethical or anything like that, then that's fine. You can have those feelings and you can get the justification for it. But if it's just a case of, I don't want him watching that because those girls are pretty, and people say, yeah, that's terrible, I don't agree with that. Because like I said, you know, I know I'm kind of repeating myself here, but I think it...
Hey, you're obsessed with porn.
I think it
clearly.
I think it warrants repeating that if that's your sole objection to it, then it's no different in terms of him looking at a beautiful woman that he may want to sleep with or view sexually. Happens in everyday life and in films and the musicians he's listening to and the people he's seen in Westminster. You know.
But the other thing, I mean, there are times where I think the jealousy could be founded with porn. If your partner cannot get aroused to be with you without porn or is, you know, addicted to porn, you know, like genuinely, then yes, those are times when you can be, I think, upset.
I don't know if that's jealousy, though. I mean, like I said, this isn't to say porn has no negative...
No, but it might make you jealous. Like, if you're feeling... like, if someone's like, yeah. Oh, am I being overreacting, listening to this? Like, am I overreacting? You know, if they can't...
And I think this is a real problem for younger people now, where, like, you know, we were lucky that porn wasn't a big part of our lives growing up because we were really on, you know, porn when we were growing up, we've mentioned in our porn episode that we still grew up in that era when it was like magazines and stuff. We didn't have this instant access to everything, which you do now. And it must be so worrying now being a parent that, you know, your kids are 10, 11, 12 and they're on Instagram looking at things they shouldn't really be looking at. So I think the younger you are now, I think the more a problem porn can play in that sense.
Yeah.
Because that is, that's almost how you're learning about sex and the acts that you expect to be normal and certain aesthetics. Yeah, so I think the younger you are, the more problem it can be. And certainly if it's causing genuine problems in your relationship, arousal, anything like that, that, yeah, genuinely, that's a problem. And you can have legit jealousy towards that. What I was saying was if the problem is strictly how pretty those women are or how pretty those men are, that's separate. But yeah, I think porn more generally can absolutely cause jealousy like that.
But I think it's also important that at the same time, people who are feeling jealous need to examine, right, am I just being insecure? Is there anything really found, you know, is there something founded here for me to actually be jealous about? Is this a character flaw of mine? Like, yes, absolutely do that. But if your partner is feeling jealous and they've expressed this to you, you should also just check in with yourself. Like, okay, like, am I actually doing it? You know, don't just jump, you're being ridiculous, you're being jealous. Like, make it an opportunity to communicate with one another in terms of what you appreciate in terms of behavior from one another. So if, you know, if there's someone in your office that is really, really attractive and is always flirting with you, but you don't do anything wrong and your partner wants you to kind of keep your distance, I think that's kind of fair. You know, like, not to say that you are doing anything wrong, and you shouldn't say to your partner, like, I can't believe you're letting this person flirt with you, you know, whatever route that might go down. But you should respect if something makes your partner feel threatened and you can see why. Now, if you just happen to work, like, I work with mainly men in my office. There's only a few women in my company. And I talk about the men a lot because those are the people I work with. Now, Rich could go, why are you talking about these men all the time? Well, because of the people I spend my entire day with, you know, we all talk about work. But, and that should be okay. But if there's more to it or there's something there that makes your partner understandably feel insecure, then that should be spoken about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing about jealousy, though, is it can get very toxic. And I think we've had a lot of this episode talking about if you're the one feeling jealous, but I think to talk to the people who may be in a relationship with a jealous person, there can come a point when it's toxic and, you know, you can't be in a relationship with the hope of fixing someone. So it's a difficult one, this, because I only give the impression that if you were someone who's jealous, just leave them. Obviously not. Everything you just said, you know, talk to them, have set expectations, try and figure out where it's coming from. A lot of the times it can be overcome, absolutely. But there are also scenarios where you need to think, is this ever going to change? It depends on the severity too. You know, I'm really talking about the much, much more severe controlling cases where your life is miserable and you can't do anything. You're not even treated like a valued member of that relationship. You're treated more like a child or anything like that. You know,
property.
Yeah. Then, you know, there does come a point when you have to start asking questions about the longevity of that relationship, because you see too many people who are just there for forever and, you know, kids complicate things and not wanting to leave and all that kind of thing. So I think jealousy kind of falls into the two categories there of it can be genuine, it can be fairly mild, there can be reasons for it. I suppose there can almost always be reasons for it, but there can come a point when it just gets worse and worse. And I think that goes back to what we said earlier, that it's really, really worth figuring out where your jealousy is coming from and trying to stop it, because it's probably going to get worse, and then the less happy you're going to be, and then the less happy those around you are going to be, and that's good. It just becomes a real cycle of unhappiness.
But there's also the concern that sometimes people that are really jealous and toxic, like you talk about, can also be dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy to say to someone, oh, if you're in a relationship that's toxic and jealous, you need to get out. We all know that some people don't feel like they can get out from a relationship like that, and that's a much bigger problem, you know, than just Oh, stop being jealous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the real concern, I think.
Yeah, I think jealousy is such a broad word. You know, it does run the length from someone who's been wronged quite seriously in the past and now they're a little bit wary. And it goes right the way through to just being a catch-all term for people who are
abusive, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Abusive, controlling.
Even not physically, might be emotionally, but, you know, some form of abuse.
Yeah, and that is the danger of it, because we talk about jealousy and you kind of expect it to mean one thing, but actually it means such a range. And so I think if you're in that relationship where you're on the receiving end of that, it's hard for us to just say now in a short episode here that this is what you need to do, because it could be that you're really, really on the receiving end of emotional torment, you know, with feeling like there's no way out, feeling like it's dangerous to get out. But you could also just be in a relationship that's jealous with your partner, saying, you talk to a lot of girls, why are you Snapchatting girls? I'm a bit insecure about it. And that's a fair question, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ask, you know, you can be giving reason to be jealous without technically doing anything wrong. You know, as in, I say technically doing anything wrong, and you may not be sending nudes, you may not be sleeping with them, you may not be doing anything inappropriate, but equally, your partner has justification for feeling jealous or feeling a little bit like the question's warranted, because you spend a lot of time on Snapchat talking to other girls or other men or whatever. You know, so, but jealousy encompasses all of that, and you know, so when you talk about it, it really needs clarification, it really needs careful handling and thought.
I think, you know, and if people are, you know, a little bit jealous in the early days, you know, you're getting to know each other, and you have to, you know, establish that trust. That doesn't just come like that in the beginning. You know, you have to build that with someone. So if someone's showing some signs of jealousy that ties in with insecurity early on a little bit, that, you know, I think that's okay. And again, it probably stems from somewhere. I mean, if you listen to our story, for example, like, right after our relationship kind of broke down, we got together twice, I guess, essentially is what you'd say. But at one point things ended, and then very quickly Rich had a new relationship. And so, you know, when we ended up talking again, I had some insecurities about that and when certain things started happening. And yeah, it was all bad timing and a bit unfortunate, but he didn't really do anything wrong per se. You know, there was no cheating or anything like that. But I still had huge insecurities about it, and jealousy too, when he would hear from her sometimes. And it wasn't anything that gave us huge, huge issues in our relationship, but it was something I had to work through and, you know, kind of get over, and something that Rich had to say, like, look, this was however many years ago, like, you know, this isn't fair, kind of. And I say, like, I know, but I can't help it. And it was something we had to work through, to the point that where a few years ago, she got married and got married in another country and came here to have like a celebration with friends. And you said, like, I want to go to this. Like, do you want to come? And I actually said, no, you go ahead. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather not. That would be more awkward for me to be there with you than for me to feel that you went, you know, like, it took time and there are things you have to work through. But like you said, that jealousy was because of something that had previously happened that I wasn't entirely sure of the timing with. But, you know, I was really proud with how far I came with that, to where you could go and spend time with her without me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were loads of people there.
Yeah, I wasn't on my own.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that something like that is kind of natural and normal. And you should try and work through that with your partner, like Rich did with me. Because...
Yeah.
But there is other types of it. So
yeah, it's... I think the takeaway for this episode, though, is if you are the jealous person, however severe it is, just try and identify, if you can, where it comes from. And because obviously it's hard. You know, if you were cheated on when you were like 14 and your school partner cheated on you, that's obviously very different to a spouse of 10 years cheating on you, or if everyone cheats on you. Like, so, you know, the more that's happened to you, the harder it's going to be.
Yeah.
The more there is to address. But it's a starting point. And I suppose now it's kind of ideal because we're all quarantined. What else are you going to do? But, you know, if you can just start to kind of address where it comes from, and then I think that'll help you put things in order and say, well, okay, I'm carrying around a lot of this baggage, and is it warranted? You know, actually, that was just a 14-year-old who was immature and acted in a way that they shouldn't have done, and it's kind of disproportionate for me to be affecting everyone around me with this. Or, on the other hand, you may say, actually, I've been really, really badly treated before, and I'm really sceptical of people. I find it hard to trust.
And then and you need to get help.
And then you need help. But, you know, I think it's just a starting point. And if you start off somewhere, you put one foot in front of the other one, and, you know, that's all you can really do.
Yeah. And it's something that people are going to have to work through, and it takes time and communication and trust. I think we could probably break this down into a series of jealousy episodes about different things. I mean, it's a huge topic, but we just kind of wanted to segue into it. And yeah, what better time to start working on things than right now? So I think we'll probably tie it up there. If you have any questions specifically about jealousy, you know where to get a hold of us on Instagram and Twitter, Mr. and Mrs. Distance, through our website, longdistancetomarriage.com. And if there's anything you want us to cover while you're in the midst of all this and probably listening to a lot of episodes, then please let us know.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.